Praise God. Well, I tell you what, we are honored today to have some guests here from Haiti. That's exciting. And I'm just going to step out of the way here. Brother Dr. Gibson, you want to bring them up?
Well, it is good to be here this morning. And I kind of move in a couple different worlds that are far apart. And and it's always interesting when I can bring something from one world to the other. You know, I go down to the field and I explain what we're trying to do and I represent the mission there. And sometimes I take somebody with me, you know, like Pastor Ziegler or somebody else that goes down and they get to see a little bit of that world. It's even more intriguing sometimes when they come here from there. The things that we take for granted that are unfamiliar, like snow, even. Pastor Joshua doesn't really like snow, although he has seen it before. He was here, 3 years ago or so? He was in Indiana for just a few days. He didn't get to visit here during that time. Came during a cold part of the time. He didn't complain much then. I thought he was handling it pretty well, but he told me later he about died. So when he talked about coming back, I said, are you sure you want to come in January? Why don't you come a little later in the year? But he had a brother that got married in Florida, and he wanted to be in on that. And so January is what it was again, and he got to come up for just a few days. Let me give just a little introduction of the field, and because in some ways we're talking about two fields. There are two countries together on the island, Haiti and the Dominican Republic. And their relationship has been rocky from the beginning. Haiti was a French colony, and the Dominican Republic was a Spanish colony. Shortly after they got their independence, Haiti invaded the Dominican Republic and took it over shortly, was not able to hold on to it. But that was not a good beginning of the relationship, as you can imagine. And since then, their paths have diverged, and the Dominican side has been more prosperous. Many Haitians have immigrated into the Dominican Republic. It's estimated that 10% of their population is Haitian, which is about 1 million people. And so it has a big impact there. They are very much discriminated against on that side. There's very strong prejudice on the Dominican side. Life is difficult for Haitians there. Now, our churches on the Dominican side are Haitian churches. We have 6, and they are of Haitian immigrants. And so it's a challenge for them when some have been there for years, some are newly arrived, and the legal status varies very much. And the country sometimes, I've seen a bus with bars on the windows, a busload of Haitians being hauled back out of the country. Whenever they would catch them and process them and load them up, and they take with them whatever they have with them at that moment. They don't go back home and get anything. They're put on the bus and they're sent out of the country. I don't know what all the status of that is now. When I was in one town near the border, our pastor's wife and one of the other main ladies in the church were picked up at random by the police and were taken and were going to be deported. And we were able to intervene at that time, and we would have not seen them. I mean, they would have been hauled off and sent, taken over the border and dropped. So we were able to help them at that time. We tried to get all of our pastors legalized as much as possible so that our pastors do not get deported. And I think at this point they are all legalized, but many of the people in the churches are not. So it's an interesting country. And by the way, we have some flyers, and I'd like for the boys to just go ahead and distribute those on both sides. And we have 6 churches in the country. The languages used in the churches, you know, at the beginning it was all Creole because they were all Haitians. But as time has gone on and people have been there for years, that is gradually changing. So some of our churches are using mostly Spanish instead of Creole, and some a mix. And so sometimes that can be a challenge. They're bilingual and neither one of the languages is English. But when I started with HPM, and I'm not even sure now how many years it's been, 7, 8 years ago, 7, I think, we We didn't own anything in the Dominican Republic because when Haitians come over, obviously they're making a new start. And so they don't have a background there. They don't have roots. They don't own their houses. They don't own properties to build churches on. So everything is rented. They're very much discriminated against. It's hard for them to get the good jobs and so on. Sometimes they're defrauded. And so they're foreigners living in a foreign land. And when we had the director that was there when we started, we had some issues and some challenges. And he eventually, after a couple years into my service with the mission, he resigned under some pressure from me. And we really were, it was desperate that we get a good leader for the Dominican side. And it really didn't take me long to decide who we ought to get. You know, one of our challenges in Haiti, we have a couple challenges. One is the dependency issue, where so many just feel like the only solution to their problems and the poverty is for Americans to come down and set things up and just take care of them forever. And that many have that challenge, and it's so hard to get that philosophy changed. But Joshua, Pastor Joshua Flormon, he's been part of the leadership on the Haitian side for a long time. And he was one that I could see really grasped our philosophy. He realized that the churches need to become well-established. They need to become self-sustaining. And he really had set an example of that with his own church. He pastored he was given a church there in the city in Port-au-Prince. At the time when he began as pastor there, they didn't have any property. And he asked for help several times from the mission and didn't get any for a long time. But he set up a building fund and put a treasurer over it and had accountability and transparency, and people began to give into that fund, mostly from the local congregation. Now, Joshua is a lawyer, has worked as a lawyer. I don't think he does much legal work now. He's very busy with the ministry on both sides, on the Haitian side and on the Dominican side. But he does come from that professional background. And once he established that accountability and people began to contribute, they eventually were able to buy their property. They began to build on it. They worshiped for a while under a tarp, which is there's one of the pictures on the paper shows that. Then they began to build. And they bought a property that slopes sharply down, so they built something on the low part first to kind of build it up level, and then began to construct their building on from there. And so we have helped some from the mission, but really just a small part of what is being spent there. Mostly it has been raised by the local people. So they've really done a tremendous work. And so as I was seeing that, and that was before all of that had happened, but I thought, you know, he's really the guy we need on the Dominican side. And so I took him first on a trip with me to go over there and to speak in the churches and to get acquainted and just, you know, kind of try things out. And from the beginning, from that first trip, I could see he connected with the people and they were able to tell him their situations. And one of the pastors, when our former director there had resigned, one of the pastors was worried. He said, "We need somebody who understands our situation here, somebody that can help us." And he was afraid there was just going to be this gap. Well, once Joshua got involved, they immediately saw him as the guy who could understand their situation and could help them. And he does training, and he works with the church. He spends about half of his time now on one side and about half on the other, which is not an easy situation. But he is continuing to pastor his church in a suburb of Port-au-Prince. And then he spends about half of his time over on the Dominican side developing the churches there. So I'm going to let him speak to you for a little bit and tell a little bit about his vision. And he has not done a lot of speaking in the U.S. He did just a little bit when he was here on the trip 3 years ago. And I'm glad to have some help. Lynn and Joel and little Alvin are with us today. Joel is a student, or was a student when I first met him over at GBS. And Lynn she's from Haiti, but we began to use her as a translator on the Dominican side because we didn't have one over there. So she would make trips over there and translate for our conventions and so on. And then she got married and took off and hasn't been able to help us down there much since. And so we have really missed that help. So, but we are glad to have them with us this morning, and she's going to translate for Pastor Joshua as he shares with you.
Bonjour tout le monde.
Good morning everybody.
Moi content pour m'avec au matin.
I'm very happy to be with you this morning.
Mwen santi mwen la kay mwen.
I feel like that I'm home with you.
Parce que mwen wè pèlerin mwen te konnen an se li ki sit la.
And the same pilgrim mentioned that he knows, and it's the same here.
Mwen béni nan adorasyon matin.
You've been blessed from the worship to the Lord.
Adorasyon pèlerin est toujours différent avec l'autre dénomination yo.
And pilgrim mission is the same. They worship God the same even here in Haiti.
Mwen santi Saint-Esprit nan mitan nou matin.
And you can feel the Holy Spirit between us.
Mwen santi mwen kontant tout le mwen avec Pastor Gibson d'abord ici.
And he's always being happy to have Dr. Gibson with him here.
Parce que li se yon soldat ki infatigable.
And he's a really strong man.
Nou monte an pil mòd ensemble Haiti.
We climb a lot of mountain in Haiti.
Nou ale très loin.
And they travel so far a lot. Sometimes when they get tired, they sit down on the floor. That they can visit all of the churches that they have all over the mountain in Haiti.
He
always think where he's from in the U.S., he won't be able to do all of those jobs, all of those travel. And he thanks God for him, and he asks you to pray for him. And he's really strong, man.
Yeah.
And he thanks God a second time. For this family, this Christian family that he's in.
Papa mwen te pasteur nan Pèlerin.
His father was a pastor in the pilgrim mission in Haiti.
Mwen vini pasteur remplaçant papa nan Pèlerin.
And now he's replaced his dad in the pilgrim mission.
Mwen pa jan regret yon jou.
And he never regretted any day.
Parfois mwen kite activite profesyonel mwen pou mwen travay nan Pèlerin.
Sometimes he left his professional activities to work in the pilgrim mission in Haiti.
Mwen gen anpil moun ki kon kritike mwen pou sa.
There's a lot of people who criticize him for that.
Men mwen mwen konnen pou ki sa map travay.
And he knows why he's working.
Se pa pou l'ajan mwen travay.
It's not for money.
Men mwen travay pou mwen resevwa gloa, pou mwen resevwa gloa nan men bon Dieu.
And he's working to receive the glory from the God.
Mwen resevwa benediksyon pa nan men bon Dieu.
And he will receive his benediction from God.
Travay yo kon paret un peu difficile en Haiti, en République Dominicaine.
Sometimes the work is kind of difficult in Haiti and the Dominican Republic.
Men bon Dieu ban mwen apil patience pou m kapab komprann sa.
And God give him a lot of patience to understand.
Mwen travay nan yon situation très difficile.
And he's working in a really difficult situation.
Parce que anpil moun pa chèche bénédiction nan men bon Dieu.
A lot of people, they don't seek the benediction from God.
Yo ap chèche bénédiction matérielle.
They're looking for material things.
Men mwen mwen konnen bénédiction bon Dieu a pi bon.
But he knows that blessing from God is more important than everything.
C'est ça que moi j'aime fatigué prêcher l'évangile.
That's why it's never get tired to preach the gospel.
Même Jean nous dit n'a chanter dans soleil dans fait noir.
The same we sing like we want to sing in the darkness.
N'importe ça arrive m'a content.
Everything was going to happen I will be happy.
Moi content pour me prêcher l'évangile.
And he's always happy to preach the gospel.
Nous gagnons en pile difficulté dans construction l'église yo.
And they have a lot of difficulty in the construction to build those building in Haiti.
Quelquefois quelque monde pas wè intérêt bon Dieu intérêt ça.
Some people they don't see the interest and the work of the Lord.
Mais yo plus wè pour yo capable rentrer l'argent.
They just see to keep looking for money.
Yeah. Moi a travaillé dans mission ça longtemps.
He's been working on the mission since a long time.
Moi te conseiller juridique mission.
He was the advisor juridical for the mission.
Avec Pasteur Gilles.
With Pastor Drew.
Moi venu délégué national.
And now he was a délégué national.
Moi venu surintendant district.
And surintendant of district.
Na élection année passée, bon Dieu fait grâce, moi vice-président Haïti.
And last year they had an election and now he's a vice president in Haiti.
Moi venu directeur en République Dominicaine.
And he's a director in the Dominican Republic.
Dans deux contextes très difficiles.
And two countries very difficult.
Pour réconcilier Dominicain avec Haïtien, il n'est pas facile.
Try to put Dominican and Haitian together, it's not easy. He keep asking God to give him strength and Holy Spirit to do this job. And he hope God will help him. This is his desires. And he's reaching for your prayers. And with your help, and his help, and they will reach their goal. And he keep thanking this family here. Pastor Paul used to talk us about this church in Haiti. And now he's here in flash. And he's very happy to see you. And he asks you to keep stay strong in Christ. May God bless you.
Okay. Right, thank you. How many years has he pastored at Kafou Fe?
Combien temps au pasteur Kafou Fe?
Depuis 2000.
Since 2000.
2000. So 17 years he's pastored the church where he's at in Port-au-Prince. Do you have a family?
Si.
Yes.
Tell about,
yes.
Parle-nous de famille. Parle-nous de famille.
Okay. Moi gagne, moi marié.
He's married.
Moi gagne une famille qui m'a dirigé pour mon Dieu.
He has a family that is taking care for the Lord.
Okay. He has one son and then there's a girl that they have adopted. He has a good wife. She makes the sacrifice of letting him be gone a lot, and she keeps things going. He's gone, and I asked her one time, would she be willing to go to the Dominican Republic? And she said, wherever God sends my husband, I'll go.
Yes.
But at this point, he doesn't want to leave the church he has in Port-au-Prince. He told me someday he may be old, and he may just want to go back there and stay and take care of that church where they appreciate him. And I can understand that.
Okay. So,
okay. Well, thank you, brother.
Okay. Okay.
I want to talk a little bit about the churches in the Dominican side. We have six, and... And by the way, Lynn would be famous in Haiti if they knew everything that she has influenced. When I first started with the mission, she was kind of my coach on the customs and, you know, how you behave in church. I mean, there are certain things you don't do there, and just organizational kinds of things. And, you know, most of the people that help us in places like that, they don't tell you if you're doing something wrong. You know, if you're going in, especially if you're the president, they're not going to tell you that you shouldn't do things this way. You might offend people and not even know it. But it didn't bother her to tell me. She took it on kind of as a project to get me in shape. And so it really helped a lot. And I remember talking about our budget problem because we were spending, you know, thousands a month that was being distributed to churches and schools. And some of you know the history. You know, we've talked about this for several years, the transition we went into, trying to figure out, okay, how are we going to reduce this monthly budget, make the churches more self-sustaining? We tried all these different things, starting little businesses, offering to switch out. You know, instead of a church getting this monthly support, they get something else that's going to help them. And just didn't seem like we were making much progress with that. And I remember telling Lynn some about that. She said, well, why don't you just stop the budget? And I was just kind of horrified. I thought, what? Stop the budget? There's no way we can stop the budget. Everything would collapse if we just stopped the budget. But I started looking. I thought, well, let me just do some checking and see what would really happen. So I started looking through all these numbers, and I found out that what we were giving to the schools was only a small fraction of what it really took for them to operate on. And what we were giving to pastors, for the most part, now there were a few that we were supporting pretty well, but for most of them, it was just a tiny bit of what they needed to live on. And I began to think, well, hey, you know, if we stopped this budget, there probably wouldn't be anything collapse. And we could instead do projects. Every month we could do a project with that money that was being distributed out. And so we made that change several years ago, and our churches and schools are all completely self-supporting in Haiti. And nobody in Haiti knows that it was Lynn's idea to do it so drastically. And she never wanted anybody to know because, you know, the change overall has been very good, but there have been a lot of people that have struggled with it. And she might would have had to leave the country even more hastily than what she did if they had found out that she was the first one that raised that idea. But in the Dominican Republic, we're more at the ground stage. And so when I started with the mission, we had some things going in the Dominican Republic for just a few years, not much organized. We didn't own any property. And so it was a chance to set our course and really try to build the right foundation. And that's why, you know, Haiti, that work had been going for 50 years. So you don't turn things around overnight when it's been going a certain way for 50 years, generations basically. But in the Dominican Republic, we had the opportunity to start it off the way we were looking ahead, you know, the way we wanted it to be, and to build strong, basically is an expression that I would use. So we do have an office there. It's an apartment that's rented where Joshua stays when he's over there, and it's not too far from one of our churches. Out of the six churches, Pinzon was the first property we bought. For just a few $100s out in the rural area, we bought the property, and they do have a building there now that we helped to put up. Elias Pina was, I think, the next one that we bought. And this church, Wiseball, contributed the bulk of what it took to buy that property several years ago. And that church is doing really great. We're just excited about what God is doing. They have a good pastor and a strong congregation working together, again, as foreigners in a strange land where they have many difficult conditions. And so they're kind of like a little colony there that works together and helps each other. But it's really a strong church. Las Palmas, and I hope you remember, I don't know, you may not remember these terms from the paper, but some of these places that we were trying to buy. And, you know, originally I thought, well, let's just try to buy an acre or two, you know, for each church and then let them gradually build. Well, when you're working in the city, you can't do that. There may not be a lot that you can buy to build on. You have to either buy a building or nothing. And so we've ended up buying some buildings. And Las Palmas, we bought that church during this last year. Alcarizo, we bought property and we are helping them build there. That was one that we were able to buy just some land, and that building is going up. Buenos Aires, we bought that property a few months ago, and they are renovating, opening it up, and they've so far have done that part without money from us. They may need some help to finish that, but they've done a lot of changes on that property. And then Cajaco, you may remember the story about the witch doctor that got saved and became a pastor. Anybody remember that? I told it when I was here. It's probably been a couple years, and it was probably in our paper at some point. That's the little village church of Cajaco, and that's the only one out of the six that we don't own the property. They are still renting there. So we own 5 out of 6 of the properties, and they are asking if we can help them buy theirs. There is a property available. It would just be buying land with a kind of a temporary structure, maybe some poles and a roof that they could start using. But for about $5,500, which is a lot better than what we spent on the larger city churches, for about $5,500, we could buy the property out in the village of Cajaco. And so we're trying to, and again, our budget for salaries, other than helping Joshua partially with his support, our salaries and our rent and our utilities in the Dominican Republic are zero. We are not spending anything to keep those churches open. We spend a lot to help get them established. We buy properties. We help do that kind of thing. But we're not spending anything month by month to keep them open. And so that's an exciting thing to me when churches join us, and there are several churches in the country that are talking about joining us. They've been in some of our conventions. They like our doctrine. They like the way we do things. And they know that they're coming in without any promise of any kind of support. They're not joining a rich mission to start getting a monthly stipend, because none of our existing churches are getting that. And so to me, that's the way to establish, and we're helping them form budgets. The goal is that they support back a little bit into the mission for their country, not to send back here, but to support what's going on there. And maybe someday when we have 20 churches, it'll pay for the rent of the office and help support the director there. That's our goal long term, that happen. And so it's exciting to me what God is doing in that country. And again, You know, I pray all the time that God will give us the right people for the right positions. You know, and I'm always nervous about putting somebody into a position because it's a lot easier to put them in than to get them out. And for the first couple years, the Dominican field was the field that I struggled with. In spite of all the problems we had in Haiti, at least we kind of knew what we needed to do there. But I used to pace the floor and talked to Stephanie over and over. I don't know what to do about the Dominican side. We've got a guy down there in charge that we just can't do anything with, and he just doesn't get it, you know. We explain our philosophy and what we want to do, and he doesn't get it, so there's no way anybody else is going to get it because he's not explaining it to him. And finally, when the Lord worked and he was removed, and we were so thankful to get a guy who gets it and understands it and is really helping to establish. And ethics, of course, are often a challenge in Haiti, the padded budgets and all the things. And I've really appreciated about Joshua. He understands about ethics, too. And so God has really blessed us with that. I wonder if anybody would like to ask a question of me or Pastor Joshua. We took just a couple minutes for that. Yes, Pastor Prosper at Elias Pena. We have bought the equipment. The building they were going to rent for that did not work out. And so at this point, he's got the equipment in his house, and people arrange for him to come and do stuff on site. So he makes furniture, he does some things. So it's not quite what we wanted it to be, but it is working. And he is much better off than he was before, where he was going and working in somebody's shop and they were just paying him a little bit. So we're still hoping to set that up better, to have a site of its own. And that would also provide some work for a couple other guys too. I'm glad you asked that. That's good. I'm glad to get to give an update on that. Anybody else? The well drilling machine. Well, the well drilling project is stalled a little bit right now. They did some drilling with it, but the training of the guys probably was not fully adequate. And at this point, they're having trouble. They ran the bit down, and as long as it was still going, they thought they could just keep pushing it through. The problem was it hit a place and stuck, and it got embedded in rock. And so I was just down there last month. And so the project is stalled at this point till we figure out what to do, and we may end up having to cut the thing off down there and just buy another drill bit or something, because when you try to turn it backwards, the shaft is in sections and those just unscrew. If you try to turn it backwards, they just unscrew and come off. So you can't run it backwards. And somehow they didn't get the idea that you've got to kind of work your way slowly and make sure it's really clearing it out as it goes, and not just embed it. So that's where we're at with that. Everything, as far as the equipment and everything, it's all still there, and we're still hoping to get that project going again. Pardon? They did at least a couple that I know of. I'm not sure what else they did in the months before that happened. Part of it, you know, we were in transition of administration down there. Pastor Nava retired, and his administration and everything was far beyond what we'd had before, but still had some issues. And I think some of our projects, like the well drilling thing, kind of stagnated for a while, partly because of that. The new administration was elected just last year. Pastor Ephraim is the president, and Pastor Joshua is the vice president, and then there are a couple others on that committee. And so there have been a lot of changes, and the accountability is being noticed by many people. They elected a new district superintendent of our main district, our leading the Port-au-Prince district, and that was a huge step forward. Pastor Rico, some of you would know, he is now the district superintendent. And just the progress and the advancement of projects and everything we're trying, and he's another one. He understands our philosophy. The guy before him didn't get it at all. And Pastor Rico gets it, and he's helping to develop the churches. So when I was down there this December, last month, after a year of their work, I had seen a difference even through the year from a distance. But then when I got there and I could see the things that were done and just the way everybody felt about it and the way people talked about it, we've really made great strides in the administration. Anything else? Anybody else? Okay. Well, it's a privilege to share with you. On the flyer that I passed out, Pastor Joshua's church has made great progress. And as I mentioned earlier, they have spent far more than we have on that project. It's been mostly a local project. Right now, if you look at the building, it's going to be very tall because their property is not large, so they're going to go high. They're going to put three levels. And what they need to do is put in the third level right now. They won't mess with the second level right now. They don't have money to finish everything. But if they could put in the third level and the roof, because those need to go together, the third level will hold everything together, the tops of the walls and so on, and then they can get the roof on. And with the money they have, they could finish that if they had another $2,500. And to me, looking at that, that's pretty. They're obviously managing it pretty well if they're going to be able to do it for that. So $2,500 is what it would take, and they would start having services in that building. It would be usable then, and then they can take as long as they need to gradually finish out the rest, but that would get the building usable. It would be a major step forward for them. So we're praying that God will provide that $2,500. If God were to lay it on your heart to do all or part of that, that would be a tremendous blessing to some people. And we like to see people blessed who are doing what they can. Amen? And we've had the other kinds of stories, places where you go in and you do it all and they want you to pay them for every rock they carry on their own building. You know, well, I don't get too excited about doing much at those places. But there are others, they will work hard, they volunteer, they realize the church is for them, and they put themselves into it, and Joshua's church is definitely like that. So I would like to see them blessed and taken, helped in that way. One more thing I'd like to do before we turn it back over to Brother Ziegler. I'd like for Sister Lynn to come and sing something. Now, when we traveled around, she used to sing a little bit. You have something?